The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk. I'm off my jack, keep
your hands off my stack. Jobsinkent.com.
Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 2nd of February, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Lisa Settle. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show now the next in our series of the 10 traits identified by the University of Kent Business School and BIG Associates that make or go towards making SMEs successful. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Toby Lindsay. Hello, Toby.
Hiya, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Very well, and very pleased to be looking at a sunny day today.
Wow, where are you?
Well, I'm down on the south coast at the moment.
Yeah, so I thought you were going to say Dubai or something.
No, I wouldn't be that cheeky.
Toby, welcome back onto the show. In this episode, I think this is the 9th trait that we've looked at. And all of the previous traits can be found on the Business Bunker website, both the audio files that go with them and the blogs that go with them. But in this episode, you're going to be talking to us about the sponge, I believe.
I am, yeah.
Now, at first, I thought that might be SpongeBob SquarePants, but obviously not. So tell us a little bit about what the sponge is.
The sponge, we call it the sponge because it refers to that capability for absorption. Right. And we're talking about absorption of knowledge. I guess also the metaphor works when you squeeze the sponge, it comes back out.
Right,
about
okay.
Absorbing knowledge and turning it into useful behavior, techniques, tools in the business. The sponge places value on learning processes and recognizes the benefits of continuous development of knowledge. Mm. Being open to new ideas, new ways of thinking, actively seeking out learning opportunities, both within the immediate business context and beyond it. And that ability to adapt and develop new learning and skill is a crucial ingredient in SME survival and growth. It's clear from the research that business leaders, entrepreneurs, owner managers who are continually seeing their business and their business experience as a learning opportunity are more successful than those that don't.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about it's not only absorbing knowledge and growing your professional expertise and awareness of your own business, it's about acquiring knowledge from other fields as well.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's about being open to the idea that you never really know where that knowledge is going to come from.
Mm.
And you can never really know until you've kind of acquired it and reflected on it and brought it in, whether it's useful or not. So we found that, particularly in the sense of, in the case of business networking, the entrepreneurs who were going to business networking meetings with the question in their heads being, what can you do for me, were getting less out of it and were less successful than entrepreneurs who were going and saying to themselves, what can I learn from you?
Absolutely.
And I might go to and talk to someone who is in a completely different industry. Might be a completely different size of business. Might be able to say in my head, they can't do anything for me. But actually, the way that they deal with a sales negotiation or a customer or a technical problem can actually be hugely informative to the way that I look and think about my business and practice.
Absolutely. I mean, and I'm sure that you looked at some of this, and it's something that fascinates me as an entrepreneur, is that quite often you can see how totally unrelated things to you. So a business that has no relationship whatsoever with what you do, but some of the things they do and some of the processes they use to do it, you can start to see ways that you might be able to adapt that.
I think that's absolutely right. Because whatever they've done is in the service of solving a problem. Mm. Now, problems vary hugely in their kind of technical nature or their definition, yet the process of problem solving, the process of creativity, the process of innovation is actually a process of learning and thinking outside the box and stretching ourselves. So when you're talking to how somebody achieved a solution, it can start to trigger off those gray cells and think, hey, hang on, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if I looked at it this way. Yeah. Or actually, when you're involved in kind of those kind of dialogues and you're talking about your problems in a way that is just putting it out there, it can give you the opportunity to see it in a different way and reframe it. So very often, rather than seeking the solution, we should actually be asking more questions so that we better understand the problem and kind of get a sense of its entirety rather than it what we perceive it to be immediately.
Absolutely.
It's quite interesting. Sometimes you don't actually know that you've got a problem, or you might not be seeking the solution. But when you talk to someone, all of a sudden they'll impart some knowledge, and you think, hold on a minute, I could use that, or I could adapt that.
Absolutely.
And without even knowing that you were seeking that information. Mm. It's there all of a sudden. So, you know, and if you hadn't have spoken to that person, had that conversation, you couldn't have used that to improve your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, completely. And sometimes the problem you think you've got isn't the problem you've got. And somebody says, you say, oh, I can't do this. Someone says, well, what's stopping you?
Mm.
And it makes you think, what is stopping me?
Mm.
Blimey. I hadn't actually looked at it from that perspective, and you realise that it's not where you first thought the issue was.
Absolutely. I want to... I totally agree, and I want to explore some of the ways, Toby, that people with this trait of sponginess, the kind of things that they do, the kind of ways they go about acquiring knowledge and insight and just, you know, general stimulation, I guess. And I have to say, many, many years ago, I was very lucky to share a platform with a chap called Tom Peters. And for you've heard of Tom. For those of you that don't, Tom was an American management consultant who wrote the very first ever best-selling, it went to the New York Times best-selling number one spot, first management book ever to do that, which was a book called In Search of Excellence, which he wrote back in about 1982-83. And I was lucky enough to speak on a platform with him. And one of his big themes back then was what he called acuity. And acuity was having awareness of things that were going on around you that didn't necessarily immediately impact you. And I guess that's a kind of pretentious way of looking at the sponge, really.
I think that's exactly it.
Mm.
But the key, I mean, the word you use, awareness, you know, what can we do apart from just make choices based on the data and knowledge that we've got?
Mm.
The business world we inhabit is incredibly complex. There's loads of things going on. To even say what the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do is sometimes not. You know, how could we possibly know?
Exactly.
But what we can do is we can raise our awareness, and with greater awareness, we've got greater capability to make choices. So that sponginess is fundamentally underpinned by curiosity. Yeah, a curiosity about the world in which we operate, the world beyond it, and also ourselves. So I think self-awareness is a massive part of this, because the entrepreneurs that have and invest time in developing self-awareness start to become more aware of their own limitations. They become more open to challenge from others. So it goes from being a process of sort of being a bit defensive and saying, I don't know everything. No one knows everything. I don't know everything about myself. Someone I once ran a workshop with, you know, why do we call blind spot blind spots? Because you can't see them. And it's kind of, yeah, right. But there's something there.
Yeah.
If I can't see it, I need the feedback, the reflection of others to be able to become aware of things in myself that maybe be holding me back, or maybe talents that I'm not utilizing fully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that fascinates me is the process of evolution. And quite often, certainly in business and in some other fields of life and operation as well, we don't always recognise that things are moving, things are an evolving, unfolding story. And we tend to stick rigidly to things from the past that we know, you know, that's how something happened, that was the root cause of that, you can't do that, and da-da-da-da-da. But evolution, especially nowadays, with technology and the rate of change that technology is bringing about, you can't afford to rest on your laurels and think you do know stuff, even if you do know stuff, if you see what I mean.
Completely.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, because looking at Google is now the most valuable company in the world, ahead of Apple.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that's brilliant, because when I had my first computer, Google didn't exist. Nobody even knew. The most valuable company in the world is something that in our lifetime, nobody even knew that we needed.
Yeah, exactly. And there was no demand for its product.
Exactly. So that sense of, you know, learning is, it's an individual process and it's a social process and it's happening all the time. Yeah, evolution is happening. So to say that we could stay in the same place, well, the bar is continually getting higher, so we need to continually be developing and progressing.
Absolutely. I want to come back to this element, and I don't know if the research found this or whether you just kind of intuitively know it, whatever. But for SMEs specifically, you know, small business owners, small entrepreneurs, whatever, what are the kind of ways that the people that you identified in your research acquired their knowledge, acquired their awareness?
By seeking a variety of learning opportunities. So that could be personal development, coaching, it could be doing various courses. They're often the kind of people who'd be saying, you know, I'm running a business, I'm doing a million and one things. I've just signed up for a program with you with such and such, or I've just started doing this. And so, okay, so they're always seeking learning opportunities.
Right.
But they were also passionate about exploiting knowledge. How can I use it? What can I do with it? How can we make this into something? What's the action that can come out of that?
Yes.
And then network development. And they'd be very well networked and developing networks, as I say, with a clear bent towards the network being evaluated for its in and of itself, rather than, and I've heard people say it often, well, I went to these network groups, but there was no one in my business. There was no one I could sell to. You know, I go to a network group, can I sell anything here? No, I'm off. That wasn't the attitude that we found was actually helping people win. It was, it's really interesting. I like to meet people. I like to talk to people. I like to find out new ideas. I like to ask questions to people. I like to talk about what I do and just get feedback. I like to get challenge from other people. I welcome that, actually. I like to see if there are things I could be doing better.
Absolutely.
And it was that kind of hunger for them. Yeah. Challenge and feedback and new ideas.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and funnily enough, I mean, I don't do it so much now because I just don't have the time. But a few years ago, I was a bit of a networking demon, and I went to loads and loads of networking meetings. And exactly, people would, and I'd say to myself sometimes, but there's no one there really that, you know, is a potential customer of mine. But outside of that, I learned loads of interesting stuff about other people's businesses and how they do it. But in reality, further down the line, maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, I did get custom out of it through, you know, either directly or indirectly, either through people grew their business and then needed my service, or more likely they told somebody else about having met me that did. So, you know, it isn't.
It takes time, doesn't it?
It does. It takes time. And people are so short-termism about things. It's, oh, I know my business. I've been in it for a long, long time. I have to tell you the story. Many years ago.
Hold on. Are your teeth in?
Sorry?
Are your teeth in?
My teeth are in, yeah.
Good, good. Okay, carry on.
Many years ago, I worked for a bank, a Citibank, and somebody in that august organisation had a brain meltdown and made me a vice president at the ripe old age of 21. And I went along, and bearing in mind this was the late 70s, so I beat you hands down, Toby. We hadn't even invented personal computers then, let alone Google or phones or anything else. And my job, bizarrely, was head of electronic banking at a time when nothing electronic existed, basically. But anyway, I went along to a board meeting to try and convince some very long-in-the-tooth bankers about the benefits of computerizing banking. And there was a chap there who was a senior executive vice president. And I started to talk, and he went, "Whoa, whoa, 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 let me stop you there." He said, I've been in banking 35 years. He said, "I've got 35 years experience in banking. You're talking nonsense." And being young, rash and headstrong, I blurted out, "Well, excuse me, Pat. Actually, I think what you've actually got is 35 years experience. Or you've got 1 year's experience repeated 35 times. And of course, everybody else around the table laughed apart from him, and he hated me forever from that moment on. But you do find that quite often, that people know something about their industry, but they never go past that. They never learn. Yeah. They never add to that. They stick with what they know, and they think yeah. they know stuff.
Yeah.
But the life moves on around you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that brings me, you know, one of the key points that I want to make is that learning is uncomfortable. Mm. That's one of the challenges.
Yeah.
That's why we shy away from it. That's why we do the same thing 35 times, you know, and enjoy the fruits of that. And it's not for me to say whether that's right or wrong, but it's not learning.
Mm.
Learning is hard. You know, it involves failure sometimes. It involves accepting criticism, critique, imperfection, limitation. The other thing I wanted to say about what is it that people do who achieve it, well, they take time and space. It's often not perceived as valuable to the business to maybe find out your limitations, get emotionally frustrated and hurt by failing to achieve something you thought was easy, and then spending the time it takes to actually accept that and reflect and then think, so what can I do differently next time? Mm. What did I do wrong there? So those things are, you know, there are very real challenges to being sponge-like and being the sponge.
Mm.
On the other side, learning is awesome. You know, learning is what drives things forward. Not only does it help us succeed in business, but it's fun. It increases our ability.
Mm.
It makes this interesting. And one of the things when I was thinking about this morning was, yeah, well, what's the point? And there's a very clear correlation between the sponge and SME success in terms of growth and financial success. Makes me think, though, what are the other successes that we have as entrepreneurs? Yeah. Why do we do this stuff? Mm. Why do we take risks, ride the roller coaster, have days where things are peaky and days where we think we've got nothing coming in?
Mm.
And I think part of it is because it's about our own creation, our own evolution.
Absolutely. So
there's a philosophical side to this for me, which I'm passionate about, is that, you know, and there's a guy called John Dewey who wrote about learning, and he said learning is not a means to life.
Mm.
Learning is life itself.
Yep.
And I feel that. I think that's why a lot of us get so much out of the entrepreneurial journey.
Sure.
Is because it develops us. It takes us beyond ourselves.
Yeah. Do you know, I once, in a very pretentious frame of mind, started to draw a parallel between entrepreneurialism and the epic journey, which is one of those archetypes that runs right throughout human history, you know, from The Hobbit, you know, to all kinds of things. Big adventure stories are about journeys, aren't they? Journeys where you overcome trials and tribulations and learn stuff. And I think entrepreneurialism is a classic example of that. And the kind of entrepreneurs that I know and hang out with, so few of them are actually motivated by the money as the primary goal. It tends to be much more the fascination with and the unfoldingness of a journey, of an epic pursuit or something.
Absolutely.
So I can see that entirely, and I can see why people that therefore have to absorb information to be successful. That is a fundamental part of that archetype, isn't it? If you look at it, even if you look at computer games now, Dungeons and Dragons, you have to solve clues and find things out and dig up secrets and all kinds of things, and that's something that, you know, fascinates people with that frame of mind.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're
all nodding here.
When we go from the individual to the group, we see that firms, leaders of firms, organizations that are passionate about learning and development create cultures, atmospheres, environments in the organization where they support that in others. And so working in that environment becomes exciting, stimulating, and you have people who are allowed to try out new things, have ideas. Yes, they make mistakes, yet if you contain those mistakes and if you allow some of that, that's where the great innovative companies come from. And I don't think it's any you know, accident that Google is the firm that's famous for having, giving its people free time to think, try out new things and experiment. Yeah. And now they're the most valuable company in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And proves a point.
And it's an interesting point that you raised, Toby, about mistakes as well, because there's a whole heap of evidence that there are quite a few things sloshing around the world these days that were the outcome of mistakes that became massive products, you know, like Post-it notes is one of the most famous ones.
Yeah.
You know, where people were experimenting with something and accidentally invent something else. And it's my belief that that happens far more often than people give, you know, give credit to as well. You know, in retrospect, we're really good at 20/20 hindsight with things, aren't we? We go, oh, yeah, I spotted a gap in the market, so I made one of those. But in fact, it was an accident completely.
Yeah, and we are very good at creating stories that say, we did this, we did that, we did that, and then we got to here. When actually, from experimentation, play, mistake, creativity, and fun emerges some of the most things that we find most valuable. But no, you know, no one ever set out to do it because they didn't know it was valuable.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, Toby, can I ask, are you a sponge?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that happened to me in, you know, my first sort of business ventures were really successful and then they weren't. But at some point on that journey, I went and did a program to learn about myself and learn about organizations and learn about leadership. And it totally changed my life. It really kind of, I got so excited about something that had become quite stale for me. So, and that's something that now I realize I have to keep doing is trying to learn, trying to expand myself, trying to move into new areas because otherwise I just get bored.
Absolutely.
It's very interesting. Do you go around spotting people? Do you, oh, you're a sponge, you're an engager, you're an integrator. When you meet people,
it wouldn't be my nature to sort of cut, because I do think these things are all linked, but I certainly try and encourage and infuse and coach and create the sense of for people to really try and achieve these things and go for these things and kind of expand themselves.
Absolutely. I'd like to make a plea as well for those people that are thinking of becoming a sponge is to read more. You know, reading is one of the greatest sources of acquiring knowledge that there possibly is. I don't care whether you read it in books or you read it on the internet or you read it in a newspaper or you read it in a magazine, but reading is really important, and it's one of the things that we're getting increasingly worse at. And the other thing that I've always been fascinated by with this kind of thing is I've talked a lot about evolution and the future, but for me, one of the things that I really have gained insight from is the past. By reading historical documents where you can see the crossroad points where people made decisions at various times and where that led them. And if you're open enough, even though you know that's the facts and that's what happened, you can think to yourself, what if they'd made a different decision at that point? Where could that have gone? And when you start to think like that, you can see that there is no solution to anything. Mm. There are just a series of branches that you may or may not take.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we, that sort of brings back that awareness piece, is the choice we make whether to take them or not can be really informed by the awareness we have of us, of the world, of the complexity of everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Toby, we could have talked about this for ages. We could have sponged it in. I think, did Vicky want to say something?
Well, two things, actually, very briefly. You mentioned reading. Luke Beattie, if you're listening, that's why reading is really important. There you go. just to my son. But yeah, Toby,
and
I just...
Rappy Lindsay.
a personal message there. But Toby, I just wondered... you're talking a lot about this knowledge, looking for it outside an organisation. Is there also a time and some benefit in sometimes where you've got more than one person in an organisation to look and see the knowledge base within it and how perhaps that could be shared or learning could happen within an organisation?
Yeah, thanks for that. It's outside and inside equally. I think organisations that treat everything they do as a potential for learning, that take the time, and if they take the time to stop being totally operationally focused and say, what have we done? What have we achieved? What worked well? What didn't work well? And then it's learning how to have those conversations that are both critical and positive in ways that you can have them amongst people in organisations, being open to that kind of challenge, because that's where huge amount of development comes rather than saying, well, we've all, yeah, the number of organisations I'm going to work with, and you say, well, why'd you do that? And they say, well, because we've always done it. And you say, well, why is that? Well, we don't really know. Because, and sometimes someone coming from outside can ask the question, and people go, oh my God, we've looked at it in a new light. But you can do that anyway. And I think that's an absolutely
fantastic,
very salient point.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on. Toby, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. So thank you so much for joining us on the show. For the listeners and anybody that wants to follow up more on this, we have a whole blog on the Kent Business Radio website that lists all of the traits that we've covered so far, the audio for all those files, and a blog that goes with it. And I guess that fairly soon there'll be a blog that goes with the sponge as well. And we'll put all of that up. But for the moment, Toby, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to discuss with you for half an hour or so, The Sponge. And we wish you continued success, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks ever so much, Paul. Real pleasure to come on. Thanks for having me.
All right, Toby. Lovely to see you. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye. Bye. Bye.
That's Toby Lindsay of BIG Associates and formerly of the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, talking about the trait, The Sponge. Absolutely, totally nailed on. It's one of the things that I just find so exciting about life. Yeah. It's just learning new stuff. You know, not necessarily in depth. I mean, once upon a time, I used to be technical, you know, from an IT point of view. I'm useless these days because I just can't keep up with it. I'm too old. But I love hearing about it, and I love talking to people that can do it.
Yes.
And trying to figure out what on earth they're talking about sometimes. It's really cool. Good. We need to crack on. Have you got another email to read, Lisa?
I have, yes. I've got something in from the Wisdom Hospice.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly organising events down at the Wisdom Hospice. They have quiz nights coming up on the 12th of March. That's down at the Hook Meadow Community Centre in Waterslade. Teams of six people, £6 per person. This is an extremely busy event. It sells out very, very quickly. So yeah, it's the 12th of March, but seriously, if you're thinking that you want to go along to quiz, I've been to this quiz. It's really, really good quiz night. So roll up, take your own drinks and nibbles. It's only £6 per person, sorry. So a team of six, so it's £36 for the table. There's a raffle during the evening, and it's a really, really good event. So if you want to go along to that, you can contact Friends of Wisdom on the Twitter at Friends of Wisdom, or you can go to their website, which is www.friendsofthewisdomhospice.org.uk. They also have a colour run in April, which is on the 17th, and they're looking for people to participate as well as corporate sponsors. So if you want to get involved, if you want to get your employees to run on the colour run, you can actually blast them with the colour powder as they go past, if you want to, which could be quite rewarding. They've also got a bike ride in May, Sunday the 8th of May, 45 kilometres or a 75 kilometre option. I think, unfortunately, I'm enrolled in that. I'm hoping to go for the 45, but I think I'm going to be pushed towards the 75. But there you go. But lots going on there. So do have a look at their website. They do fantastic work for the hospice. It really is a great place. So have a look at that. There's also the Kent Women in Business Awards coming up. Tickets are available now. I think nominations have closed.
They closed last Friday.
So that's that. So. But you can get your tickets for the Black Tie Gala celebration, £65 per person plus VAT. There is a discount available if you want to have a table of 10. But go along, have a look at the website. It's www.quibawards.co.uk. And I will be there. It's at the Great Danes Hotel. You're going to be there, Paul, are you?
I am indeed. Yeah. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Are you judging going this year?
No, I'm not judging this year. I am hoping to be there, though, because it's what passes as my social life. Me and 400 female entrepreneurs once a year.
Lovely,
that's it.
Lovely.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's always a cracking event.
Yes.
And it's the fourth year now, and it's grown and grown and grown. And as you quite rightly say, I have been a judge. I don't think I'm a judge. Oh, maybe I am.
I'm a judge this year, again.
Maybe I am. I don't know.
I'm sure you are.
I have been for the last few years, but
and the good thing about this one is that it's actually on a Friday evening now.
Oh, that's all right then.
So you can, if, you know, anyone
I can relax the next morning.
A few beers, yeah, you can stop over at the hotel.
Can I? Oh, thank you. I don't need to, though.
No, you're just down the road, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm teetotal anyway, so I don't drink anyway. So yeah. I end up taking everyone home. That's much fun, that is.
Yeah. I might talk David Settle into that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
We got bazillions of tweets, and I'm going to try and flash through some of them. The marketing assistant on the Twitter, Tabitha is TMA. Tabitha is TMA is the handle. And they're the marketing assistant. And they are a new company that are focusing on helping small businesses with their marketing and social media, primarily focused around the Kent-based Weald of Kent area, but spreading out gradually. Fantastic company. Do follow them on the Twitter. That's the marketing assistant. We've had somebody called Hannah, Han4HRH, who says, I've listened to Vicky and Kevin on the radio talking about Future First. Ada's brilliant, excited, she's put with a hashtag.
Oh, that's great. So, great. Thanks, Hannah.
That's lovely, isn't it?
I think she's a special lady, isn't she, Hannah?
Very special. Yeah.
And I've had a tweet from Natalie Bonet that says, I'm on the way to the studio. But, of course, that tweet's a little bit out because I can see the back of her head at the moment because she's out there. So, hello. Chris Pollard has tweeted again and said, please shout out for CKC Global Media. Coaching communications globally, podcast broadcasting, publishing, social media strategies. So consider yourself shouted out, Mr. Pollard. Mm. And AN Property Management, known on the Twitter as Nicky Property. That's N-I-C-K-Y.
Not Nicking Property.
Not Nicking Property, no, Nicky no, Property. Yeah, yeah. That could be that. Interesting, couldn't it? But yeah. It's Nicky Property, and the company's AN Property Management. And they say, Vanilla Webb, please give AN Property Management a shout out. We've been going to the Kent tweet-ups and think they're great.
Brilliant.
So well done for that. Thank you for that.
Excellent.
Well,
I've got Adrian from AK Carriers.
Yep.
He says hello. And
hello, Adrian.
I hope you're having a good show. Adrian has been absolutely amazing to me just recently. He helped me. I don't know if you know that I had two goats.
I know your goats,
yeah,
Chloe and Clarence.
Chloe and Clarence. Sadly, Clarence died at Christmas. Very, very sad. And we had the problem with Chloe because it was her brother and she'd been with him for 10 years. And she was very, very sad. Adrian came along. He actually took Clarence away when he was put down in his special van.
Yep.
And was lovely to Chloe as well. Let Chloe sniff everything, you know, and check everything out as it went along. And then because Chloe was so upset, Chloe has now been relocated to a sanctuary, a goat sanctuary. Mm. And again, Adrian was involved in taking Chloe along to the sanctuary. Mm. And he's been texting me and tweeting me to find out how she is. David and I go every week to see her.
I've seen the Facebook pictures.
Yeah. And Adrian's been great in supporting us throughout that. So,
cool.
You know, it's not just dogs and cats. If you've got a sick goat, Adrian can help you with that.
Absolutely.
As well. So,
and foul-mouthed parrots as well.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a speciality
and
too.
And budgies with broken legs.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So he does it all. So thank you very much,
Adrian. AK Pet Services, he provides a hospital stroke taxi service, an ambulance stroke taxi service for pets, primarily in the Medway area. But he's really good.
Great customer care.
Absolutely fabulous. We've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance who say, Vanilla, please give us a shout out at Cascade Insurance. We're keen to help businesses. We are better than online and can get you a great deal. So thank you for that. And Supply My Business are referring to the conversation we just had. People don't want to be sold to at networking meetings. It's about knowing the value you can add. That's how you build your referral network.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got an email here from also the lovely Jackie Groundsel. And it's for her organisation, which is called 1230. And it's a networking group, and they've got a meeting on Thursday the 11th of February, surprisingly at 1230, until 2 o'clock. And it's an open networking, and it's regularly on the second Thursday of each month. And the venue is the Orb, which is at 243 Ramsgate Road, Margate. And the launch meeting price includes a two-course lunch, and it's £18.
Nice.
And the meeting host is Kay Dunbar. And it's a mix of SMEs and sole traders, and intimate and productive meetings. And you can find out about this and all the other networking meetings. It's a lunch networking meeting, for want of a better word, and you actually have a full lunch. And in fact, not this one, but the one after, I shall be speaking at, which is cool.
That's at the same place, is it?
Yeah, they're always at apparently at the Orb in Margate. Oh, okay. I've never been there, but the Orb's a restaurant, and apparently they have the restaurants in themselves.
Oh, lovely.
Apparently. But you can go to their website, which is 1230-1230, the numbers 1230.co.uk. And find out about their event meetings. So do that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And coming up, we have the Seven Oaks Business Show. Now, it's not coming up until April, 22nd of April, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's at the Plaza Suite at the Stag. And that's in the London Road, Seven Oaks. And it will be opened by the Right Honourable Michael Fallon, MP, Secretary of State for Defence. And there's business networking presentations and exhibitions and over 100 goodie bags up for grabs. So you want to go along and visit that, but at the moment what they're trying to find is people that might want to exhibit at it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you'd like to find out more about exhibiting at the Seven Oaks Business Show, you can contact Bonnie Tarling, and Bonnie's email address is osl@sevenoakstown.gov.uk. That's osl@sevenoakstown.gov.uk, or you can call them on Seven Oaks 01732-459-953. That's Seven Oaks 01732-459-953. Or you can go to their website, sevenoakstown.gov.uk, and find out about the Seven Oaks Business Show. It's not until April, so you've got plenty of time, but don't leave it too late, because it's not a huge show. It's not big, and the stalls run out very quickly.
Yeah, sure.
And I went to it last year, and I had a great interview with Michael Fallon, actually, which we broadcast, which was really interesting, because before Michael became Secretary of State for Defence, he was, in fact, Minister of Small Businesses, and it's something he was very passionate about.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we had quite a good conversation, which we broadcast about that before he got his new job beating up the world.
Talking of exhibitions, can I mention a few?
Okay.
We've got
only because it's you.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't let anyone else.
Thank you so much.
That's right.
We've got the West Kent B2B, which is the Invicta Chamber exhibition. The West Kent B2B is on the 10th of March at the Hop Farm, which should be good. The North Kent B2B is on the 29th of June at Buckmore Park.
Wow.
Which is the go-kart circuit, isn't it? That's novel. I don't think it's been there before, is it?
No, it's an interesting venue, isn't it?
Exciting. So
it's going to go fast, isn't it?
Oh, very good. The East Kent B2B is on the 1st of November, and that's Lees Cliff Hall in Folkestone. And then the sort of the annual, the big B2B that we've all been going to for years and years and years is on the 26th of April at the Ashford International Hotel.
Cool.
Now, that's the, I think that's the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, it is,
isn't it? So that will be a big one, so that'll be good.
Talking of which, I had a tweet earlier. I saw it go through, and I know what it is, so I can read it without looking at the actual tweet, which was from B2B Southeast.
September.
Who've announced their next Southeast Business Show, which will be on the 30th of September at the Effingham Park Hotel at Copthorne near Gatwick. And if you go to b2bsoutheast.com, you can find out there. And there are a few lovely people that have already booked stands, Lisa.
Stand 51. Same place.
Yeah. There are a few exhibitors that are already booked on that. There's a long way off now, but we will start telling you more about that as it unfolds. So 30th of September for the B2B Southeast show. There's a Kent Invicta special workshop on cybercrime.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
This event is free to attend, but you must book to reserve your place. It's at the Kent Invicta Chamber on Tuesday, the 23rd of February, 7:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And this event will help businesses be more aware of and reduce the prevailing threats they face, including malware, phishing, vishing. They're doing this just because of my teeth, aren't they?
Because of your teeth.
Phishing and vishing and invoice redirection fraud. It's free to attend for members and non-members. And you can find out more about it by going to the Chamber website, which is kentinvictorchamber.co.uk. Very important that you find out about that. There's far too much of that kind of stuff going on. And there's also the big one that's happening at the moment, where you get a phone call from someone claiming to be from Microsoft that asks you to do stuff with your computer.
Open your windows.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. I have fun with that. I had one of those.
Windows, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I opened my window.
Literally.
I told him it was too cold with the window open. Can I close it again? He hung up. There's some Invicta Chamber Network breakfast meetings as well, which includes a full English breakfast, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Members £15, non-members £20, an opportunity to put your business in the spotlight. And the next one is on Tuesday the 2nd of February, that's today, so you missed that, so that's no good. The one after that, sorry, is breakfast at Furley Page Solicitors, and that's on Thursday the 11th of February at the Chilston Park Hotel, Lenham.
That's where we had our Christmas party.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I had my 40th birthday party there. That was a long time ago as well.
Thank you. Kent Invicta Chamber have also got an HR conference, which is on Monday, 15th of February, and that's at Canterbury College, New Dover Road in Canterbury. It's quite an event going on from an 8 o'clock start through to lunch and breakout sessions. If you want to know more about that, I would say have a look at the events at kentinvictachamber.co.uk, or you can call 01233 503 838.
Cool, thank you. We've had a tweet from Kent Vision Live, and they say, we would love a shout out. Kent Vision Live, 11th of May, entry is free. kentvision-live.co.uk. Hope to see you there, Business Bunker. I think Kent Vision Live, if I remember rightly, is part of 2020.
Yes.
The big business exhibition.
Yes, yeah.
So do check that out. You can follow them on the Twitter, Kent Vision Live, or go to their website, kentvision-live.co.uk. The lovely folks at EcoSan, happy birthday, Sonia. It was her birthday at the weekend. Oh, and a big happy birthday to Amy McManus, whose birthday is today.
Is it today?
It is indeed.
Amy.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Sonia, for the other day.
I happened to see what Bradley bought her for her birthday, Amy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Pottery classes and a skydive.
Oh, my goodness.
Blimey.
I think I quite like
it. He's trying to tell you something,
classes.
Amy.
I'm not sure about the skydive.
Yeah. Blimey.
Oh, we'll hear all about that one then, anyway.
Oh, we will hear all about that, don't you worry. But happy birthday, Amy, and happy birthday at the weekend to Sonia. And a big shout-out for EcoSan, who say, please come and have a shout-out. We offer eco-friendly washroom solutions to businesses across all sectors. And we will be talking to you shortly, Sonia and team at EcoSan, because I need your services.
Mm,
yeah. Cool. Venom Tech. Over there in Discovery Park.
Monkeys.
Yeah. Vanilla Web. Queen Fireface, they say. Mm. That's a hashtag. Queen Fireface. Professor Dr. Anna Nikaris. Nikaris. N-E-K-A-R-I-S. Professor Dr. Anna Nikaris is giving a talk in Canterbury on the 5th of February about slow loris. Now, I can tell you about slow loris, because slow loris is my favourite monkey. And Steve will kill me for calling it a monkey, because it ain't a monkey.
It's a loris.
It's a prosimian.
Right.
It's a primate. Yeah. It's a loris.
It's a losange.
Huh?
Losange?
Yeah. It's famous, though, for licking its elbows.
Oh, I wondered what you could say.
Because they're poisonous.
Oh.
And what it does, I know about
do
this.
Tell,
I know all about this. It's brilliant.
Come
it's
on.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Educate us.
It licks its elbow, and its saliva mixed with the oil in the gland in its elbow, and it's venomous, and it then bites you.
Oh.
Yeah. But only tiny. Anyway, Professor Dr. Anne Nekaris is an expert on said loris, and she's doing a talk on February the 5th, and I'm going, because that's brilliant. I want to know more about that. I like poisonous things. It's fabulous. And that's from the lovely folks.
You learn something every day, don't you?
That's from the lovely folks at Venom Tech, which is run by the fabulous Dr. Steve Trim, who is also an alumni, and I'm not making this up, of Scientists with Luscious Hair.
Fantastic.
That really does exist as an organisation, and Steve is a member of it. Yeah. So that's cool. Slow loris. Go and hear about slow loris. It's fascinating. And Steve's been on the show talking about this, which is where I got this from. And I make it up, and then he corrects me with the proper stuff. Yeah. The Hunting Edge have sent out a big thank you. The Hunting Edge is, I mentioned Andrew earlier from the thing at Dover,
yes,
the redoubt.
Yes, yeah.
And Andrew's company is The Hunting Edge. They're an online hunting, fishing, shooting store.
Yes.
And he's just sent a big thank you to the Business Bunker. So with a lovely graphic, which you can all look at later. So
excellent.
Thank you for that, Andrew, and the lovely folks at The Hunting Edge. A completely new listener called Chatty Hat.
Chatty Hat.
Chatty Hat has said hello. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Chatty Hatter. Also, Wise Words Festival say, can we have a little shout out about our alternative Valentine's event? It would be fab if you could do that. We've got poetry and pudding.
Poetry and pudding.
Poetry and pudding. Do follow them. Wise Words Fest is their Twitter handle. And the Wise Words folks every year in Canterbury do poetry, readings, storytellings all around the city. And they've obviously got something very special planned for Valentine's.
Cheesecake to go with it.
But hopefully... Oh, hold on. They've given me some more details here. If you shout out for our alternative Valentine's, poetry and pudding for those in love, lust or lost,
oh,
basically. Mm. I think I'm in the latter rather than the former. And they've given me a shortened link to go to some kind of web. Let me see if I can find it. I don't normally do this. I don't normally follow the links because they're normally obscure, but we'll see if we can find it. No, we can't. It's not going to show me.
Do you want to have a little look and I'll read something?
Yeah, no, don't worry. It's not going to come. Oh, yeah, hold on. There it is. Oh, it's a Facebook page. Sorry. It's their Facebook page, and it's called Alternative Valentine's.
Okay.
Yeah. But
so
what I'll do...
Facebook.com /alternative Valentine's.
Yeah. Okay. What I'll do is I'll get the links dug out of that, and I'll put them on the Business Bank website so you can find them.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm trying to get through as many of these as I can with not very long to go. What else have we got?
I've heard from the Medway Youth Trust.
Yep.
Just to say hello and to say that did you know that we are the KM's Charity of the Year for 2016, which is great news. They do lots of work with youngsters,
right.
Developing essential skills for employment, etc. So
cool.
good on them.
Cool. Three very quick shout outs, and then we've got to do the FSB news, and then we're off. Fab dear. FABBDEA, Fab Deer. Vanilla, could you give us a shout out for our site, Fab Deer UK, FABBDEA.UK, where you can find out information about 3D printing. Pantiles Chambers, we are having a refurbishment at the Pantiles Chambers in Tunbridge Wells, and we have serviced and virtual offices and services for business. So that's the Pantiles Chamber. So do check those folks out, please. Right, it is now that time in the show when
Channel Radio News Update.
This is the news update with the Federation of Small Business. That was my fault, sorry. You can read an FSB mail. Well, I sort out the mess I've just made of that.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, well, serious news here. This is headed up. Construction industry fined record amount by HMRC. Hmm. HMRC increased its revenue from tax investigations into the construction industry by 17% in the 2014/15 tax year. Due to the high level of self-employment and cash-in-hand work, the sector has been targeted by tax inspectors and fines have more than doubled since 2010-2011.
Wow.
HMRC has found that many subcontractors and self-employed contractors should in fact be classified as employed under PAYE, resulting in higher national insurance contributions from both the employee and the employer.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, lots of crackdowns on things like that. Now you've got to think about this much more heavily than you used to once upon a time. There is going to be a business breakfast with the lovely Kelly Tolhurst, who's the MP for Rochester.
Mm.
And that is taking place on the 12th of February. That's Friday the 12th of February, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And that's at the Innovation Centre, Maidstone Road, Chatham. And basically, Kelly will like to meet any SME that wants to come along to that meeting, completely free, organised by the FSB, to tell her your concerns, interests, or just inform her about what's happening in the SME marketplace. That's Kelly Tolhurst Business Breakfast with the FSB on the 12th of February at the Innovation Centre in Chatham.
I've got one that's actually today.
Right.
Maybe a bit late, but just in case you're going and you wanted to find out a bit more about it, it's the FSB Policy Conference 2016. It's the National Conference Small Business 2020, Inspiring Growth, Innovation and Ambition, hosted by BBC business presenter Steph McGovern. It takes place on the 2nd of February at the Queen Elizabeth II Centre in London. The event will see key politicians, business leaders, policymakers, and FSB members come together and set the small business policy agenda for the future. Watch live via the microsite and follow hashtag FSB2016 on Twitter.
Cool. I don't know why some tweets don't you like them. I don't know why that is.
I noticed that.
It's
today.
Weird, isn't it? I'll tell you the other thing that drives me absolutely nuts is when I tweet something and attach a picture, and you know you can tag people.
Yes.
It puts the same tag list in everything you do after that until you change it again without telling you. It drives me absolutely nuts. Anyway, small firms still use pen and paper to run their businesses. A recent survey carried out by WorldPay has revealed that 1 in 5 small business owners still use pen and paper to manage the day-to-day running of their business, despite the availability of modern technology to assist with this. These business owners also typically spend twice the amount of time on finance and admin than they do on selling. The survey also revealed that 48% of small business owners were unable to identify their top 10 customers and their ordering habits, and 40% were unable to provide profit forecasts. More than half, 57% of the survey respondents, were unsure of their busiest trading day, and 62% could not identify their top 3 selling products.
Goodness me.
I'm flabbergasted. I'm absolutely flabbergasted by that.
You've lost your teeth. You've lost your voice now as well.
I've lost my mind. Wow. Blimey. What have you got?
I've got government urges employers to prepare early for the national living wage. Hmm. The government is urging businesses to take steps to prepare themselves for the introduction of the new national living wage from the 1st of April 2016. It's advising employers to take 4 simple steps to be prepared for when the new national living wage becomes law. These are to know the correct rate of pay, which is $7.20 per hour for staff aged 25 and over, find out which staff are eligible for the new rate, update the company payroll in time, and communicate the changes to staff as soon as possible. Employers can find out more by visiting www.livingwage.gov.uk.
Cool. Small retailers reveal growing business confidence. According to the Royal Mail's annual tracker study, smaller e-retailers are growing in business confidence, with 8 out of 10 positive that sales will increase in 2016. The outlook stems from the successes in 2015, when more than 74% of e-retailers experienced an increase in sales. To maintain this trend in 2016, 70% of online retailers are planning to expand the number of channels they are selling through, with 85% of these planning to list an additional online marketplaces and 50% intending to launch their own website. Fantastic. So that's been the FSB news for this week on February the 2nd. And thank you to the FSB for that. We're nearly at the end of the show, and coming up later on Channel Radio, following this show at 4 o'clock, we have the absolutely gorgeous Natalie Benaigs, who I'm looking at right now, but she can't hear me speaking because she's turned the radio off out there. And she will be here with Kent Creative Live at 4 o'clock. That's followed by the latest favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his entertainment show at 5 o'clock. And then coming up at 7, Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show, 18 tracks of new unsigned music. That's the New Potato Show, 7 till 9 tonight. That is immediately followed by our comedy programme, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. Hot tunes from 1967 and a little bit of comedy. And right after that, at 10 o'clock, our flagship show of the day.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day, where we have a fantastic lineup of shows. But for this week, You've been listening to our fabulous guests, and it was an absolute pleasure to have on the show Vicky and Kevin Beatty of Vicky Beatty Associates, who also talked about their first aid programs for schools, clubs and associations. Do find out more about that. But many, many thanks for coming on the show and telling us all about your wonderful community-based activities, as well as your ordinary business in health and safety. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We also heard from Mr. Toby Lindsay of BIG Associates with the ninth in our series of BIG traits of successful entrepreneurs, where we discussed in depth the trait known as the sponge, the ability to take in lots of information. The show was fantabulously co-presented by the lovely Lisa Settle.
Thank you very much.
And it was an absolute pleasure to have you do that for us at the last minute. I kind of foisted it on Lisa and said, by the way, do you know you're going to be co-presenting the show with me?
Yeah, oh, thank you. A bit like that. But yeah, it's been great. It's
been great. And you've been great too. And thank you so much for doing that. We'll move you up the batting order.
Thank you.
Don't you worry. And most of all, thank you for all the people that participated in the show by emailing and sending tweets. I have got another 40 tweets that I haven't read,
I've got
but
more
we just haven't got time. I'm really sorry. We will try and read them next week if they're still appropriate. Otherwise, you can tweet in again and I'll do you first next week. But you've been listening to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. It's been an absolute pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. If you've got any news, events or anything you want to tell us about, you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Also, check out our blog pages. We have over 20 pages of blogs written by all kinds of people. They're not all written by me. In fact, very few of them are written by me. They're written by all kinds of people with all kinds of expertise in all kinds of fields. And what we try to do with our blogs is keep them short and readable. So they're not pages and pages and pages of stuff. They're little short bites of interesting snippets of information and bits and pieces. Do have a read of them.
Go and be a sponge.
Go and be a sponge. Go and start with reading some of our blogs and then follow that where it leads you on to, because there's some interesting stuff on there. So do look at it. But that's enough of us for this week. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fantastic week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.